Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Kali. On the Blog Talk Network tonight, we have a great guest. She wrote a book called Name the Field, How She Followed Her Dream, Earning My Ring, Face the Greatest Challenge. It will be an awesome interview. And let me bring on Nadia. Hey, Nadia.
Hi, Carly. Hey, how are you?
Okay, you want to introduce her?
Yes. So today we are having Tammy Jo Schultz. It's an honor for me as your cohort of Southwest Airlines to get this opportunity to interview you.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so I'm going to bring her on in 1 second. Okay, so let me see. Okay. Hi, Tammy. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh.
Hi, Tammy.
I'm Carly, and she's Nadia, this, you know.
Hi,
and
Tammy. It's Nadia.
Yeah.
Hi, Carly.
So, I will stop first, and then she will ask you, and then we have our other host and a co-host going to ask you questions, too. So I read the book, and I found it very fascinating, like your whole life story was fascinating to me, and especially because I grew up with my grandparents, had a farm, and hearing about you growing up on the farm, you know, it sounded just like, you know, we did.
Yeah.
So we had a phone, thank God, and TV, thank God. Okay, but how was that? Because, like, I mean, I love hearing people that grew up on farms. I'm weird, I know. I named all the animals on my grandparents' farm. I was a weird kid, but yeah. So how was that?
It was great. Now, I will say probably any child, how they grew up is great. If they grew up in a happy family, you know, it just doesn't matter what your surroundings are, you make of it what you will. But I did enjoy growing up on a farm and then later a farm and ranch. Outside is truly where I thrive, I think. And growing up without a television or a telephone, and of course in the day before cell phones or computers in every home. So I grew up in a pretty uncomplicated child's world, and sometimes I think that business is probably not really good for children. It's probably not good for us to be too busy, but I had a very complicated world. Whenever I got to high school and junior high, when everybody was needing and using phones, we communicated with each other around the breakfast table, and literally my parents would know what road we were taking whenever we went places, because we drove some pretty old cars, and if there was a breakdown, they'd know where to come.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe it's just me, but kids that grow up on a farm actually drive earlier than any other kid. I mean, okay, my driving is bad, but I'm great at driving the tractor. And when it was hay season, my grandfather, you know, made all of us, you know, grab the hay and all that, but he let me drive it because I was really, really, really good. And I loved it. I mean, I missed that because they sold their house without my permission. Well, my grandfather passed away and my grandma moved up here. So, and my house was getting too big for and all the repairs. But I think growing up in that kind of way is kind of nice because I grew up for the first 11 years there, and then I moved to Seattle. So that was kind of the closest shock for me because, you know, we got our meat from our grandparents. We got the vegetables from our grandparents. And so when we moved up here, it was like we were going to the grocery store. Why? Yeah, so for me, that was, you know, weird. But so in the book, I think you need to have a movie about this book. The more I was reading it, the more I'm like, okay, this could be another great movie, a movie turned into a book because you have some great stories and they are great stuff. And I love that you never gave up your dream of, you know, flying. I mean, yeah, people, you know, told you, no, you can't own. It's a man's word, but you did. And you never gave that up. So what gave you the drive to not give up?
I suppose one of the things that I, growing up the way I did and having brothers and a father that I worked side by side with, and they certainly treated me as an equal. I got out of college where there's girls and guys, and when I got into the area where there were only guys, I thought, I don't know why more ladies don't get into this. It is thrilling, exciting. And the things that I really came back to were, did I have the merit to be there? Was I good enough to be there? And realizing that no is often an opinion. I can accept no if it's an answer. That's definitely something that growing up in high school, there was a definite no's along the way, but sometimes I realized in the Navy where there weren't very many women, if any, there, then sometimes the no's were just a reaction and not a real opinion, a real answer. They were opinion. So at the end of the day, I just looked at what was my merit for being there, my motive, and realizing having come to know Christ in high school and having faith that backed me up and just said, there aren't second-class citizens in this world. So if you were made in a way that you can do something, that you're capable of, charged to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just loved, I mean, my niece was thinking about being, a pilot. My niece is thinking about it, you know, because my dad was a pilot in the Air Force. So she kind of wanted to follow the family, you know, thing. And so, but right. She's not sure of it, if she wants that or to be something else. But she's exploring it right now. And I, you know, gave her your book to read, you know, to say, here, you know, maybe this will help you be your guide to decide if you want this. And, you know, because of this, you know, she loved playing like you did, and she's 18 and going to be graduating soon. So, yeah, so when you finally were able to go to the flight school, how was that? Because it seemed like it was a really hard training place. Was it really hard to be training?
Well, I would say the Navy flight training is probably as challenging flight training as you'll find. I'm sure the Air Force flight training has its challenges as well. But in the Navy, not only was I going through and being the only woman in my squadron at the time, there was usually about one lady a year that went through that squad. Of course, presented you a few walls to go to get through. The training itself it depends on the needs of the military at that time, whether they need you to get through with your flight training quickly, take it at a slower pace. But at the time I went through, we were doing absolutely two flights a day, sometimes 6 days a day, a bit of what they call a fire. Learned a lot in a quick amount of time. So, and the standards were very exact. So I would say it was a pretty good challenge. I will say also that up to that point, the Navy boot camp, the Navy tests, academics, were just natural for me. And when I finally got into the cockpit and could start doing things, not just studying and regurgitating them on paper, I felt like I had a fit. I not only loved it, so I had enough energy to study hard and ready for two more flights the next day, but it did have fit. I wasn't instantly good at all of it, but we were working on it.
Wow, that is, super. And so I'm going to pass it over to Nadia because I know she has some questions too. And, I know you have another, meeting to go to afterwards. So, Nadia, sweetie, you can take over.
Okay. Hi, Tammy. It's Nadia.
Hi, Nadia.
Hi, how are you? It's an honor for me to interview you today. We're cohorts.
Yes, well, thank you.
So my question for you is, can you tell us about April 17, 2018 with Flight 1380?
I can tell you a little bit about it.
Okay.
There's so many details in so many different areas that I'll leave listeners to with the fact that more details are in the book, but that day was a day, I would say, just out of the book of regular days initially. And Darren Elliser, my officer, had flown one day before together. We went and met our flight attendant at the airplane because they had stayed at a different hotel there in Nashville, and then really for the first time that day, most of them, there were some of us that might have had one flight together or recognized each other, but it was a pretty new group to put together. And after just a brief time to put our heads together and get introduced to each other, know each other, then we flew Nashville to LaGuardia, had a little more time in LaGuardia on the kind of finished our conversations from before the day started, and headed out from LaGuardia to Dallas. Was a completely full flight, no seats open, and pretty heavy with fuel because we had a long flight to Dallas. About 20 minutes into the flight, without any precursors whatsoever, there was an explosion on the captain's side, and the aircraft just swung around quickly into a skid going sideways, pitched over, and we did a snap roll to the left. Darren and I both thought that we had been hit by another aircraft as we compared notes later on the ground. It had been a fan blade that had become separated, and there was a lot of different things that happened. I won't go through all those details, but I will say that on my flight attendants that day, Tanique Mallory, Catherine and Rachel Farnheimer, at the very beginning of the day, just watching how they greeted people, came on the airplane, it made me realize they were invested in people, not just in the job. And that really shone through when we had enough control of the aircraft to head towards Philadelphia. And I made a PA just saying that we're not going down, because it had been pretty severe and violent and was continuing to shudder. And I just wanted to make sure that our flight attendants as well as our passengers knew we were still in control of the aircraft. We had a plan. We had a destination. And all three of those legs unbuckled and down a really violently rough aisle to help people with their oxygen masks, to assure them that we had a destination. And probably one of my biggest hope, or my biggest takeaways from that flight, even up on 3 weeks later, is the fact that hope really changed the atmosphere. It changed. It didn't change our circumstances. We were in the same rough flight for another 20 or 22 minutes, but it changed. And Darren and I had a destination to problem solve backwards from, and the flight attendants got up on their feet. Passengers, seeing this, got up, unbuckled, and left their family members to go towards a very dangerous part of the airplane to help as well as other people they had on the way. And there were a number of passengers that stepped up in really selfless ways. And then as we got closer to Philadelphia, there were some other things that manifested themselves. There were just urgencies that kept presenting themselves, so that we really didn't breathe easy until we touched down there in Philadelphia. And then rolling out and having some time later that evening to just, you know, let my mind settle into kind of what had gone on that day. It was interesting that it wasn't the patient part that rose to the top. It was people. I think people will always be what's most important in our day. And the habits that everybody had that turned to instinct were part of what changed the ending of that day for others. The hope that they acted on, and the fact that it doesn't have to change circumstances. It changes us, and we have the choice to change the outcome. And then also the heroes that stepped up. So many of them did not have equipment, uniforms. There were certainly plenty of heroes that were in uniforms that day, both on the ground and in the air. But I just was amazed that it came down to whoever was willing to take the time to see and the effort to act on behalf of themselves really shone forth. And the fact that I don't think that was the first day. They had always made a habit of giving hope to others.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a tough day, you know, but it turned out we did an amazing job.
Well, I know that it didn't turn out well for everyone.
No.
They lost. But I will say that it was certainly treated sacredly by being on that flight.
Yep. So before you were a pilot for commercial planes, you were the first female F-18 pilot fighter in the Navy. What was that like being the first female in a man's world?
Well, I will step back and say I was one of the first women to fly F-18s in the Navy. And there were a couple of other ladies that year. One was in my class, and Pam Carroll went on to be the first woman pilot in combat. And then Lori Mellon, who flew it as a test pilot that year. So it was, there were some other things that I was first at. That was one that I was one of the first. And yes, it was definitely in that world. They had women on the A7 weapons detachment before, which Pam and I went on. And then the F-18 community had women come through training before. And it was difficult. I will say, honestly, the toughest thing about learning to fly the F-18 was navigating the training squadron, the different personalities that set their cap at trying to prevent it. And so anytime leadership doesn't set a good example and follow that, then everybody follows leadership's role, and so if mission creep happens, there's vendettas, there's little fiefdoms, there's kind of quagmire to navigate and then fly the airplane. So the aircraft itself was magical. It was an amazing platform. It was the Navy's first strike fighter, so they had an air-to-air mission as well as an air-to-ground. They did dogfighting as well as bombing. So aircraft was great. There was some amazing men as well that were instructing. My first instructor, Paul Sign Micro, was a gentleman and an excellent aviator. So started off well. And I'm glad it did, because I needed to remember that's how it could be whenever I was flying with some dinosaurs that made things hard.
Exactly. So when did you know you wanted to write a book? Like, what made you want to write the book?
Right. I would say probably a few months after Flight 1380, and I really a pretty consistent pattern in the things that people asked me or wondered about, and I realized I read a lot of true stories, feeling like it gives you this insight without having to go field trip yourself. And so in aviation, I know flight attendants, you study the things that have happened in the past, and a great way to approach it is so that whenever it happens, should it happen, you've already mentally lived through that emergency, that situation. And so that prompted me, and also the fact that our foundation, everything that flies launches from a foundation, and I think everybody themselves launches from a foundation. Some of that we don't have any choice in. I had incredible parents. We lived below poverty line income most, if not all, of my childhood, and yet I had a fabulous childhood, and it was because I had fabulous parents. They weren't perfect, but they certainly gave me such a entry into the world of work is good. It's not something to be avoided. There is a joy in work that you won't have anything else. And problem solving it's addictive. It's thrilling. And that's part of work. So I had that growing up. And then, as I mentioned before, having come to know Christ so that I had this foundation in a faith that assured me there's no second-class citizens. And as a woman, I'm not expected any less of in my family or in my faith than a man. So that I think, equipped me with some good blinders whenever I had some pretty rotten habits. And I will say, women could not be in the world of aerospace and aviation if it weren't for the men that locked the doors. So it's not filled with a bunch of men that don't want women to be a part of it. That's just not true. There's so many that are encouraged. But there's the few that try to. So I just thought a book to show kind of how I navigated it. Not that I did it perfectly, but to give people maybe some insight into how to navigate or encourage them when they wonder, why am I coming up against all this, having such a battle in my work? And sometimes you press through it, and sometimes you have to navigate around it, and then there's sometimes that you do have to step out and go in a different direction.
Exactly. So what advice do you have for young girls that want to go into aviation?
Oh, I hope that they'll pursue it. Truly, there's just not a better time nor better country in the world to pursue aviation. We've got all kinds of scholarships and ways to get into aviation. There is things online. I know that the EAA, Women in Aviation, different groups that offer a flight, so you get to see. Do I want to try this? Ground school, and then a free first lesson. And again, when you get closer to that time when you can do those things, you've also got the ability to work and earn some money towards those lessons. And it's an occupation that I've done for 35 years, and I never got tired of it. Like the saying that you never step into the same river, you never fly the same flight, you never fly into the same sky. So it's a wonderful profession, and I know that COVID has made a bit of an exodus in the area, which trickles down, but that is temporary. They anticipate us having a shortage like we've never had before. So this is a good time to get an idea of what you want to do and start into it. And piloting is certainly not the only thing to do in aviation. There's your job, being a flight attendant. There's being a mechanic. There's being an air traffic controller. There's lawyers, administrators. You know, it really has everybody in it. And I think you would find you stepped into a world that's moving forward.
Exactly. Just like me, like, I'm a customer service agent, and, you know, I like working with the people. You know, it's whether you're on the ground, in the air, it's amazing, aviation, I think.
Right. And there's a really, I think, a refreshing input in your life when you get to meet different people every day, as well as having the cohorts get to invest in a little more. But it's an exciting field of work.
It is. I agree with that. And my last question is, can you tell us what it felt like being inducted into the Air and Space Hall of Fame?
I think it was, in one word, surreal. Because I never dreamed, even as a young girl, when you don't have any limits on your dreams, I never dreamed that I would be inducted into the International Aerospace Hall of Fame. So I am a humble inductee, realizing I stand among giants there, but that's certainly an incredible
So I just want to say, Tammy, thank you so much. It was an honor to interview you. We I'm going to pass you back to Carly because we do have a couple more callers. But I want to say it was an honor. You were amazing that day on that flight. And thank you very much.
So let's see. 917, you're on the air. Hello? 917. Okay, maybe they just want to listen.
They
okay.
want to listen, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, you know. 9110, Bobby, you on the air?
That's me. That's me.
Yes, I know.
Hey, Tammy.
Hi.
Hey. I've flown on a couple flights since 9/11 because I felt after 9/11 fearful that when I how I fly or who's on board has really got me being kind of fearful. But with that being said, I know a lot have changed since 9/11 for your pilots, especially after what happened on that day and with everything that happened after Sully landed the plane safely in New York that day. And I know that a lot have changed. But my biggest story is, my biggest question is, with people going back on flights and with COVID rules being in effect, how will you treat the passengers and so we won't have any more of these crazy incidents like we have had where people would get in a fight or anything like that on airplanes like this? I mean, how, from a pilot's perspective, would you treat that?
Right. You know, Bob, is it Bobby?
Yes.
Yes. Bobby, I think part of this comes down to our culture. Are we going to be a culture of civil people, or are we going to be a culture of narcissistic, I want my way or I throw a fit?
Right.
And I think we've allowed ourselves to be a little coarse and hardened towards each other. So there's not the compassion that people acted in and treated each other with 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. And so I would say I fly with my family in the back. I refuse to let my life be guided by fear. I think we act completely different. I think we just put shackles on ourselves, both physically and mentally, and of course emotionally when we act out of fear. So I have a confidence not of myself, but that is just something that God has told me in His Word, that you know, do not fear is the most repeated commandment in the Bible. So that is the first stance. And secondly, we do change our world one conversation at a time. So I think sometimes when things look like somebody is having a tough day or they're ready to lash out, sometimes just a kind word to diffuse it is all it takes. And I know it's not always simple like that. 9/11,
right.
Obviously, kind words would have meant nothing. But we do fly with a more tactical attitude, both the flight attendants, the operations agents, the ticket agents, everybody along the way has a little more tactical safety attitude to help make sure that the flying public does remain safe.
Right, because regardless of what country they're from or what religion they practice or what background they are affiliated with, I do trust that person as if he was my brother or my family member, and don't find anything crazy going on unless he's getting too agitated and stuff where you know that something is bound to go wrong.
Right.
But I haven't flown on a plane in about 15 years, so I just think...
It's time. You better get out there.
Well, hopefully if I can ever get a chance to go to California or go to Europe or go to Japan when things starts opening up again and it's safe to leave the country without worrying about the virus or anything like that, I'll definitely will fly the friendly skies, as the old saying goes, and we'll definitely and definitely will think of you and Nadia as well when I'm flying those planes, especially when I go through TSA. I will think of the both of you.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, and I know you got more calls, so I'll just let you go, and you have a great day.
Bobby, thank you. Presents, and now we are going to our new host, who's our partner in crime, Veronica, is on TV.
Hi, Carly. Hi, Nadia. Hi, Tammy. My name is Veronica Robles from Houston, Texas. I'm so happy you came on the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Veronica.
My question is, how do you get over the fear of flying? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I have fear. I have fear of flying ever since of 9/11. And I'm kind of like, you know, because I battle depression and anxiety, and I get scared. I have fear of flying. I'll be honest with you, Miss Tammy. It's really hard.
Yeah, you know, I will tell you, there's definitely times and things that, you know, make me uncomfortable. There's times when I'm sitting in the back and it's a full flight and I'm having to deadhead or just flying now as a passenger, then I start to feel a little claustrophobic with so many people in a small space so long. And so I find little mental games to play with myself. Just for one thing, if you have a game on your phone or a movie or something on your iPad, or a good book, Audible.
Yeah.
If you're not much of a reader, Audible will get you into the world of books without making your eyes water. You know, there's things that you can do to keep your mind busy. One of the things that I think fear does is it makes you sit still and just wrap these tendrils around yourself. And the best way to get over a fear is to get your mind on something.
Yeah.
So if you want to go flying, then pick a place, make it where you're going to go see something or someone that you'd really like to go to. And then you choose what you think about. And letting yourself think about being afraid is not one of them. So make yourself a list, put it on your phone, carry it in your pocket. But when you start having that fear, you have a list of the things you're going to start thinking about. So pick out some beautiful poetry and memorize. So you have something available to mind at all times to turn your mind towards something lovely rather than
Well, I appreciate this tremendously because I know since of 9/11, it broke my heart that innocent people lost their lives, and just that fear, you know. I know I shouldn't let fear stop me from going on a airplane, but it broke my heart that day of 9/11. Just hearing those, of them losing their lives that day.
Right. Well, and that's something. There's been lots of steps taken so that won't be repeated. But think about this. Do you get in a car to go somewhere?
Yeah.
All right. There's been more people killed in cars than during 9/11. And you still get in a car. It's just part of getting on in life. And appropriate amount of reverence needs to be given, and then you have to move on.
Yes. Well, I appreciate this. Thank you so much. Where can I – is your book – I want to read your book. Is it available right now?
It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon.
Okay, that is
– and I will send you the link because I
got
it off Amazon. So, yeah.
Well, I can't wait to read your book, Miss Tammy. Congratulations and many, many blessings to you. And definitely – and please come back. You just wonderful to talk to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
And yeah,
have a great day.
Now we have Nadia back.
Hi, Sammy.
Okay, now I'm doubly confused. So let me see. Thank you so much for coming on.
Sure.
Also, we love you coming on, and what, Nadia?
What?
Nadia, are you on?
Okay, Nadia, are you on?
Nadia?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so perfect. We want to thank you for coming on. We really love hearing your story and everything, and we'll come back anytime, right, Nadia?
Yes, anytime. It was great. It was an honor speaking with you.
Well, thank you, ladies. Have a great day. I don't know if you had anything else. We have about 4 more minutes.
We can talk. Let me talk.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. Were you flying the day of 9/11 hit, or were you not a pilot yet?
Okay. I was definitely a pilot. I was the first officer. And yes, I was airborne that day, and so we wound up being grounded in Oklahoma City for a week.
My question, maybe I'm not saying correctly. So when they were like grounding the thing after they saw the first tower go into New York, in Pennsylvania, in Washington, when was it the moment they decided to ground all the planes? I always just wanted to know that.
I have no idea. I don't know. It's flying, and it's way above my pay grade, so I don't know when they grounded everybody. It was certainly later on.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a really hard time for the country, but thank you for coming on, and please come back anytime. Nadia is on schedule, so if you have a new book, or maybe maybe I'll take your book into a movie, that's what I'm hoping for you, because, if Captain Scully can have a movie made into him, so can you. In my opinion. So, yeah, but thank you so much for coming on.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Sammy. Have a great day.
Nadia, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I wanted to say to you that it was great having you, and it was an honor to have you. What I was going to say is that I'm a customer service agent here in Boston, and I know that you're a retired pilot now. You're able to still fly and everything? Like, you still have like all your benefits and everything like that to fly still, even though you're retired?
Right, and I do fly our own airplane, a Piper Malibu, and volunteer for Angel Flight. So I do fly airplanes as well as fly in the back of Southwest.
Oh, awesome. Do you ever come to Boston?
I don't think I've come to Boston in about a year, but I certainly will look for you when I have my next flight into Boston.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, I will put Nadia and Boston together in my phone, so I'll remember.
Perfect. Yeah, but it was great. It was great. I was starting with this radio show and everything, I was like, wait, I was like, it would be a great idea to interview Tammy. And then it was awesome.
Well, good. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
right. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you very
thank
much.
You. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Tammy.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I'm bringing B. Oh,
hi.
And I have an announcement, people.
Hello.
Awesome
interview.
I have announcements all the time, but, okay, over the weekend, if you didn't see my post, and everyone sort of saw my freaking post, we have a new host on Daytime After Dark, and Veronica is our new host. It doesn't take anything away from Maggie, people. Maggie is so sick by now, and I don't want to put pressure on her at all. So I need my girls to back me up. So,
okay.
You know, the three of us were great together, and don't worry,
mm-hmm.
Bobby, you're still the co-host. Don't worry.
That's okay.
You didn't get fired or anything. I just think with the three girls, and you, I don't want to rename myself after 11 years, but, yeah, I was thinking last night we should do three girls and Bobby, but no, I mean, I know that's weird, but I thought about it. But, yeah, Veronica is a host now, so I'm happy about that. I made that decision, and Nadia agreed with me, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and Maggie gave you Veronica her blessing, too. So,
yes.
You know, and I'm sure it's okay with Bobby, you know. So yeah.
I understand.
So,
I'm being outnumbered by three women.
Oh, gosh.
No, I'm just joking.
No, you're fine. I just want to say I love you guys. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I'm so blessed to work with you, Carly, Nadia, Maggie, and Bobby. I love you guys, and I will promise you I won't let you guys down. I love you guys so much.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
No, from the moment you and I started talking, you'll be here off. And I knew in a moment that this is what I wanted. And, you know, I didn't want to put you on the spot the first time as a host. So I gave it a couple of weeks. And now I know that it's perfect. It's perfect casting for us. It's perfect everything. And
yeah.
You know, we all count on each other, and if it wasn't for you two this weekend, I would have probably gone insane. So thank you both. I mean,
you're welcome.
You two know I'm talking about. I would have gone insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
I want to ask you, girls, quickly, how was the Laura Wright and Mara West Zoom meeting the other night?
It was good.
It was good. I was happy to meet them both. They're so nice.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, it was great. It was a nice, you know, it was nice not being a host for once. And, you know, having seen Laura and Mara, as close as they were, all offset, but on the side of each other, but seeing the dynamic duo, you know, it was really, really, really nice, you know. And Veronica, thank you for asking the question.
Oh, no problem.
You know, as person goes, have to stay together. And Nadia, who do we have for the rest of the week?
Yeah, I think we are, except for Thursday. So tomorrow we have Scott Sean White. He's a country singer.
Yay!
And then and then on Wednesday we have Hudson West and Stephen Brinkingham. And then on Friday we have Ray Abruzzo and Kathleen Gotti.
Awesome.
What time is all the
We are going to have, like, one of the best weeks this week, you know, and I love it because having, you know, what we have right now is awesome. And, you know, enjoying this and, you know, I still have the dream of, and I love you guys, that we got Blake Shelton and, Rick Ryan on the show, and Blake left Grin for me. It was a really, really nice dream. Except I love Gwen Stefani. I mean, I love her. I love her. And I wanted to say a prayer go out to Luke Bryan, my Luke Bryan. He got tested for COVID.
Oh, no.
Yes, yeah, so my Luke has COVID, and I'm not happy about it. So, and everyone should know how much I love Luke Bryan by now.
I know I'm sad about Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan's my man. Back off.
Oh, my gosh. So is he going to be off the show right now?
You know,
at the moment?
Okay, I was watching American, well, listening to what I could, Broadland of American Idol. And I love the combo of Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and Luke Bryan. That has been my favorite of the from all time. Because there's really a commodity there, and there's really, they have bonded. And before America Idol, Luke was, you know, got to meet his show, you know, Lionel, and got to sing at Lionel's event years ago. And then they became fast friends. So when Miss America Idol, we both came around. All three of them were asked, who do you think to host American Idol? And all three of them said each other without them knowing it. So I love Katy Perry. I think she is one of those really talented girls. And she finally got her happy ending with Atlanta Bloom and the baby. And, it has off to her from doing a show, you know, with having a 4 month or 5 month old, you know, hands off to being pregnant during COVID. Come on, that would not be the time I would want to get pregnant. You know.
Yeah.
And but I love that we are, you know, we are just you know, getting the guests we want and doing it how we wanna do things.
Yeah.
And you know, in 2 more months, you guys, I want the 2 months to go by really, 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 really slowly. Slowly.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't, but I do, because sending 45 has me, like, wanting to suit myself. So, what? What?
No.
I promise I won't suit myself, okay? But
my phone, I can't
hear. Everyone is younger than I am. Except Bobby, you know, and, you know, so, and, so, We are back tomorrow at what time, Nadia?
What? Oh, what time are we back on tomorrow? Probably around, same time, like 5 your
That's
time.
That's awesome.
8 my time. And Bobby's time, 7 Veronica's.
Awesome.
Okay. I mean, I cannot wait for my little husband. And I'm in talks with Porter's mom right now. Okay, Danny. And I'm also in talks with Rocco.
Awesome. Oh, cool.
So, you know, because I believe that the little kids.
That was the one that I wanted to talk to.
I want to say before we go, Jake did such a great job dealing with Cameron, who right now I do not like Cameron. I want to slap him.
And then she was, oh, wait a minute, is this show? Like, I think Maddie will want this.
Well,
because
I definitely will check up the show.
Carlos. The way Cameron is acting, and I loved how Zoss Fosselin stood up for her godfather. You know, Zeeson is Zoss's godfather.
Yeah.
And every time Zoss has been in trouble through her life, Zeeson has always rescued her. Zeeson and Drew rescued Zoss. And Oscar from the catacombs and all that. So, right now I want to slap Cameron because Jason did not kill Franco, you idiot. It was Peter. And you know what? That Gladys, if I could just have a moment with Gladys, oh, she would be so sorry because ratting people out to. You know, to help Cyrus, we know.
Yeah.
But we love you, Jeff. We love you, Jeff, and we want you to come back. So
she's crazy.
I still believe myself a little. But, okay, so, yes, we have a show tomorrow. Have a great night, you guys.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Yes. Bye, guys.
Bye. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.